Blog Talk Radio.
Israelites, with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah Radio. Yahuwah's Ministry. I'll be your host. Thy name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Tribe Yahdah. Yahdah, Tribe Yahdah. It's take number 143. So we're going to find our elders, bring them in and tell you all about the broadcast. And we already peaked. We see we clear that the big dignitary is ready to go. And like I said again, you never know what you're running to until you build this broadcast. But in the prayer, take care of Yahweh's business. That's what the whole goal is, take care of Yahweh's business. Although you'll be troubled on every side, but we're going to see who take care of Yahweh's business. So we meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Kills, Yahweh beat you there, Steve Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, serious elder, Steve Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, elder. Well, the foxtail have been lit. The curtain have went up. All we got to do is organize, elder. So we leave it like that, and the national audience is all yours, and you on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. They came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh, and that is a good thing. Because doing this word, we find out there's too much leeway for people to go the wrong direction. And a lot of influence out there these days also. Seems like much more than before. But people is being influenced to go into different religions, strange beliefs, and no beliefs at all. That's a serious road to travel. When there is a Yahweh out there that usually puts a blessing on you for going his direction. Some of this is described in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, looking at verses 13 and 14. Let's see where this leads us. 13 says, Enter ye at the straight gate, for broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, few there be that find it. And this is what we're trying to say. You know, there's a lot of people that do want to go the right way, but some just want to take the way of non-righteousness. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teachings, confusions, and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry that comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the one and only King James Bible, first and foremost about Yahweh's word, which we've been questioned about that. How can you guys get this much information out of this one book? And see, that's what we teach. It comes from connecting the books, the words of Yahweh. Your health, foods that you should eat, keeping the Sabbath days, and much more comes from the same book. Because we know this is information that you came to seek, and you have to look no further, because you have now found it in the voices of the Trizalites, tribe of Yadav. And we're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, actually, which is tomorrow. Unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time of that class is from 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address to use this on any search engine. Enter tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under this big iron, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. On any other device, you possibly might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, Give unto the Yahweh, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Jacques loves a cheerful giver. Because it appears to me, once I had a gentleman come to me, and he says, Elder Tibbs, you speak of tithes and offerings most of the time, and Jacques loves a cheerful giver. Do you know what tithes, offerings, and alms mean? I replied, yes. He says, well, let me give you some verses. And this is where the teaching had begun. He gave me the book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. And it says, there can be no good to come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth more alms. I said, uh-huh, okay. Looks like we're going somewhere. But we discussed one more, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We read verses 1 through 4. One said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Two, therefore when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or churches and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Three, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth. Four, that their alms may be in secret, and thy Father would see it in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. I learned quite a bit that day, which I thought I knew already until those verses were given me. And after that, I really knew what it meant when it said, Jacques loves a cheerful giver. And also the donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, which includes myself, in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. For also, we have a live program. You'll find this new features available during our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words on that search line, Yahweh Radio Live, and after click enter, look for the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. When you see the red live button, click that. You'll be right into a live online broadcast. We even have a couple of email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribeyadav@gmail.com. This is for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. The other is yadavisrael@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Jacques in mind. The first is the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. So in saying that, when you call this number, please do not call trying to teach. We've had this happen quite often. If you call trying to teach, you will not receive an answer, just a dial tone. You have to remember what it tells us in the book of Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6. It says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless have one counselor over 1,000. Also, by calling the same number, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note we'd like to ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast. As most of us know, the seer is generally pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos that we've heard. And now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line of 224 800-650-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. You will just hear a dial tone. Also, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our today's program, not to worry. You can catch the entire recorded show at 9:15 p.m. That's 9:15 p.m. You can catch our entire recorded show. Just enter three words on the search line, Yagua Radio Live. And after you click on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. Choose the program that you are late logging into, or at that point, pick any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, during a normal broadcast, another exciting thing we'd like to mention, we're also on Pal Talk. On Pal Talk, we'll be listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Once again, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yada. You'll find this is where Yahweh's Word is also working for your Bible education. And online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discussed during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with the Seer Israel writing as shotgun. And we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And you'll find the Broad Talk ends before teaching time. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk, so we can start to continue to listening to those teachings. We will pass our program over to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. All right, that's excellent, your part. That's excellent. No doubt about it. You know, it's just this series right here, basically, I don't know how long it's going to go on, and Yahuwah knows it. So we got so much stuff that's got to be corrected. Then the great cooking to come once some things is corrected. And that's the way it is. The great cooking is coming once things is corrected. And when things is corrected, that means that the six anointed camps will be in order to lead the way, because we've been ordained to lead the way, but we can't. But all the way we're going to lead is not by stature. It's by the word of Yahuwah. So that's the way we're going to lead. We got to exhibit what the Almighty have gave us to tell you, unrebukable, when we do this thing. That's what we got to do. No question about it. Unrebukable.
Most of you don't want to be seen. You want to believe in the government, you want to believe in the politics, you don't want to believe that Dr. Fauci unleashed a disease on you and put this these injections to kill you. You don't want to believe that. You want to believe, you want to say, why would somebody do that? Remember, it had nothing to do with God. You don't want to believe that they will harm you. Really? That's pretty, the reason why a lot of you are deceived is because God made sure that you listen to their lies, really? Easter, all pagan holidays, you can celebrate your birthday. You can. America is the only country where if you decide you want to worship Satan, you can do it. There's satanic churches on this earth. The Catholic churches is the biggest church that build their lies, the mafia. They show it to you in the Godfather. That when these crime families wanted to make moves on this earth to control businesses, legitimate businesses, they went to the ground. But you people are still, you send your kids to Catholic school, you let them indoctrinate your kids with the lies, you love the lies. So God says for that reason, you must die, you must be damned.
Now listen, we got an article on healthline.com on Stockholm Syndrome. Let's read that. What is Stockholm Syndrome and what does it affect? Stockholm Syndrome is commonly linked to high-profile kidnappings and hostage situations. Called kidnapping and hostage situations. Caused in famous crime cases, regular people may also develop this psychological condition in response to various types of trauma. So in this article, we'll take a closer look at what exactly the Stockholm Syndrome is, how it got its name, the types of situations that may lead to someone developing the syndrome, and what can be done to treat it. What is Stockholm Syndrome? Stockholm Syndrome is a psychological response. It occurs when hostages or abuse victims bond with their captors or abusers. In this article, we'll take a closer look at what exactly the Stockholm Syndrome is, how it got its name, the types of situations that may lead to someone developing the syndrome, and what can be done to treat it. What is Stockholm Syndrome? Stockholm Syndrome is a psychological response. It occurs when hostages or abuse victims bond with their captors or abusers. Psychological connection develops over the course of the days, weeks, months, or even years of captivity or abuse. After syndrome, hostages or abuse victims may come to sympathize with their captors. To the opposite of the fear, terror, and disdain that might be expected from the victims in these situations. Over the course of time, some victims become to develop positive feelings toward their captors. They can even begin to feel as if they share common goals and cause. That's when victims may begin to develop negative feelings toward the police or authorities. Anyone who may be trying to help them escape from the dangerous situation they're in. This may even begin to feel as if they share common goals and causes. They may resent or hate anyone who may be trying to help them. Who may be trying to help them do what? Escape. We're trying to help you escape, brother. This is a dangerous situation. Healing paradox does not happen with every hostage or victim, and it's unclear why it occurs when it does. Many psychologists and medical professionals consider Stockholm Syndrome a coping mechanism. Is it a way to help victims handle the trauma of a terrifying situation?
Yes, good.
Indeed, the history of the syndrome may help explain why that is. What is the history? Episodes of what is known as Stockholm Syndrome have likely occurred for many decades, even centuries. But it wasn't until 1973 that this response to entrapment or abuse came to be made. That's when two men held four people hostage for 6 days after a bank robbery in Stockholm, Sweden. After the hostages were released, they refused to testify against their captors,
and yet they refused.
And even began raising money for their defense. Psychologists and mental health experts assigned the term Stockholm Syndrome to the condition that occurs when hostages develop an emotional or psychological connection to the people who left them in captivity. There is a Stockholm Syndrome. The victim develops positive feelings toward the person holding them captive or abusing them.
Black people, go ahead.
Number two, the victim develops negative feelings toward police, authority figures, or anyone who might be trying to help them get away from their captor.
You can't
even refuse to cooperate against their captor. Three, the victim begins to perceive their captor's humanity and damn. The victim believes they have the same goals and values.
This likely
happened because of the emotional and highly charged situation that occurs during a hostage situation or abuse cycle. For example, people who are kidnapped or taken hostage often feel threatened by their captor,
okay?
Are also highly reliant on them for survival.
For example,
people who are kidnapped,
like black people, they feel hostage here, we got nowhere to go.
Often feel threatened by their captor. However, they are also highly reliant on them for survival.
See, a kidnapper or abuser shows them some kindness.
Now, if the latter may begin to feel positive feelings toward their captor for this compassion.
Over time,
the perception begins to reshape and skew how they view the person keeping them hostage or abusing them.
And when you come to the court, as you look in the face of every man, and see if he's got a little bit of the image of God, you begin to never even say that. No matter what he does, you see God's image there. And God is an element of goodness that he can never shuffle. Destroy the element of good in your enemy. And as you seek to hate him, find the center of goodness.
Go to suppress and ruin it.
Even the nation that hates you most has some good in it. Even the race that hates you most has some good in it. And when you
human sight on it, no matter what it does, you see God's image there. And God is an element of goodness that you can never shuffle. Discover the element of good. Who hates?
Hallelujah, on that. You hear that? He says, there's some good in everybody. There's some good in them. And if you never hate nobody because there's some good in them, there's some God in them somewhere. You hear that? That's great. And that's the Stockholm Syndrome. I got to get me a Young Lions elder tip. Look up that word, Stockholm Syndrome. I need to hear more about that word called Stockholm Syndrome. So what we just got through hearing, what I just got through hearing along with the national audience, that a Stockholm Syndrome is that you refer the children of the book to look directly at somebody else than to look in the mirror and see a reflection of yourself. And the longer as you remain in that, you will always have distrust of your brother, and you will love your enemy. And that is part of the definition of Stockholm Syndrome. So we're going to get another definition from the elder after we bring the Young Lions on and the mothers. And then we're going to see exactly that was played for a reason about Stockholm Syndrome. Then it also what I got out of it was that he sends people to you, the Six Anointed Camps, to help you. But you kick against the Six Anointed Camps and you have a great distrust and dislike. And we trying to save your life. That's what I got out of it. Now we'll find out after we bring the Young Lion in and see if we get something going on. And let's see who all will be on stage for the next episode. And let's give the Young Lions and the ill chance to look up Stockholm Syndrome. And we'll get a definition of what that really means, because that ain't no Negro word, Stockholm Syndrome. We might hear that and might think that might be a drink or something. You know how we live with the lack of true understanding we have, Stockholm Syndrome might mean a good cold drink in our mind. We're going to bring in a Young Lion and get something going on. Brother Makai, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh be to that theory.
Yahweh bless you, dear Israel. Oh, see, Lord. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Young Lion. Well, you know, I want you to look up this definition for Stockholm Syndrome, and I want to hear what we come up with on that information about Stockholm Syndrome. Let's see who else is going to be on stage for the next episode. Let's see. Brother Tyson is
Yahweh bless you there. See Israel of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young man. Brother Messiah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. We got, it looks like we got some, WCC probably stepped in. You know, we got a Super Bowl game rolling.
That's right.
Get ready to step back in. So, go bring in the mother. We got Mother E still on the line. Mother E, y'all, God bless you, Mother E.
Yeah, well, you did the first one, Mother E.
Yeah, we're going to see how God bless going to lead this thing. So, Mother E, let's get some Luke chapter 12, verse 12 on the line.
Okay. And look at Luke. Verse 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And we at DOTCY, we believe that the righteous spirit teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So we go teach something else out there. And other titles. Right over there for that the book of let me greet the prophet too, Brother Titus. Yahweh bless you, Brother Titus. Israel. Savvy out of that too. Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Yahweh be with you. Brother Makai Israel and Steve Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to let me get some of that Matthew. Right over there, Matthew. Give me that chapter 10, verse 19.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 19.
Yes,
look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 19, read. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you should speak, what should be given to you in that same hour what you should speak.
Mm-hmm. And that's we go, and that's how we move at VOTTY. You know, we go move according to Mother, Mother E, give me that 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11.
Chapter 4, verse what?
Verse 11.
First Peter.
Yes, ma'am.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
If any man minister, let him do it of the ability which Yahweh gives, that Yahweh in all things may be glorified through Yahweh the Son, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever.
With your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
All righty, well, we think we're back after we just been rudely interrupted. So we'll get back where we was on. Mother D.F. Israel, would you be on for tonight's episode part number 143? Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yah God Judah. Yahweh bless you, C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, C. Israel, C. Roy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, Mother, one thing about it, we knew these days was coming, and we prepared for them, no doubt about it. Now, so we did ask the question about Stockholm Syndrome, and we're going to go back up and see, can we find our elder, and see, you do have a definition for Stockholm Syndrome. Hey, Elder Stills, do you got a definition for Stockholm Syndrome? What that really means, you know, break it down in terms of what is this old Israelite, you know, the 12 tribes can understand what do Stockholm Syndrome mean. Come on. Oh, you okay, so WCC said we gonna mute the elder. Hey, young lion, did you look up the definition of Stockholm Syndrome?
Hallelujah, boy.
Hey, what you got? What you got on Stockholm Syndrome? What that word mean?
Stockholm Syndrome. Reading from the Google Dictionary. Feelings of trust or affection felt in many cases of kidnapping or hostage taken by a victim towards a capture.
Mm-hmm. And what that supposed to mean in layman terms, now you just read something there, young man. What's that supposed to mean about being Stockholm Syndrome? Because that's not an old Negro word. That's one of those big old long words. So what that word really mean there? Break it down for those that needs a little clarity on it. What that mean, Stockholm Syndrome?
Stockholm Syndrome is when someone that has been enslaved, like we were enslaved by Esau and his five sons due to our sin, and now that we feel like that we close to them, we'll protect them, we love them like nothing happened. But it's Stockholm Syndrome, it's a mind frame that the people that kidnapped you is the ones that your friend now. Now you got feelings and trust and affection towards them.
And what we'll do the same thing.
Do anything for them.
We'll do the same thing this basketball player that was in my community, I ain't gonna call his name out. He got the great big contract. He was in my community. And then he told Mom, he said, Mom, we finally made it, Mom. Now we can move out of the community because we done finally made it. So that was Stockholm Syndrome. And that same basketball player, from the point of him signing that great big old contract, he done had more injuries to his body. Because you know what he did with his Stockholm Syndrome? He married Esau. He married the daughter of Esau. And he had more trouble with his body. And we remember when this brother used to play basketball and can fall, jump on top of the rim and fall down his back and get up and break out running. Now, if he walk on the court and make a twist, a certain turn, he out for the rest of the season. So that's what's called Stockholm Syndrome. When you think you were made by everybody that you look at look like somebody else, that is a case of Stockholm Syndrome. So that's the definition of it. So we're going to leave it like that. And let's see, I think you introduced everybody. Everybody been introduced. Now we know Mother Z. We're going to address this national audience later on this evening. And so she in the bullpen getting ready for that. What we'll do, we just open up, because Stockholm Syndrome is what we're trying to get our people out of. Understand that the sick anointed camps is not the enemy. Matter of fact, we your savior. We open up with Brother Titus. Hey, Brother Titus, we open up with you there, Brother Titus. Jeremiah 44, verse 4.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of your health, and who is the sword of your excellency, and your enemies should be found lying unto you, and you should tread upon their high place. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. That was that's the last of the last verse of Deuteronomy chapter 33.
That's the last verse. Well, I need to look more out of that. Read that verse again. I need to look more out of it.
Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 reads,
The eternal Yahweh is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and it shall say, destroy him, destroy them. Verse 28, Israel dare to dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Israel shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Verse 29 reads, happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people saved by Yahweh, the shield of your help, and who is the sword of your excellency. And your enemy shall be found lying unto you, and you shall tread upon their high places.
Mm-hmm. But you have to have a shadow of what? You have to first get into the
You got to get the ball game rolling.
Israel.
Well, I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back there, young man. It's just Big Diddy cares. We don't know where you're going with this lesson. You ain't going the way we just talked about you going. Well, you can't go the way you want me to go anyway. So, what do it say again in verse 28 for the children of the book? In verse 28, it's a big statement that's made there. I want you to look at it. And the big dignitary said, be careful here. We starting to cut you off tonight. You will be cut off tonight. Well, one thing about it, the foxtail had been lit and the curtain hair went up. The young lions is very capable of running the broadcast, so that's one thing about it. We got to remember what he said. Matter of fact, what did he say? Let me see what he said. Hey, hold that part. Let me see what he said in Daniel. He made a profound statement there, Brother Micaiah, in Daniel chapter 3. See, we gotta make sure we clear. That's why we keep telling some good stuff. Who is listening, we'll find out shortly. In Daniel chapter 3, this is the kind of spirit we got to have on us. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, what does it say?
The book of Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 reads, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter.
You see that? So, and that's the same way that we come on this broadcast. We're not careful to answer you. You know it's your radio broadcast, but the same token, we still going to have to keep some best friends out. Why? And we're not scared of you. So if I be cut off, then so be it. Now, so we clear up that the children of Israel, the whole mannerism is to do what? That when it's all said and done. Young Lion, Brother
Tyler, right.
Now you just read a verse. Now we're going to see when it's all said and done, according to 33, what is the purpose of the nation of Israel according to end time prophecy in 33, verse number 28. So what is the conclusion of the whole matter in verse 33-28? What is the conclusion? What kind of conclusion you get in 33-28?
The conclusion I get in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 28. So I'm saying that we're going to be dwelling in safety alone. As the fountain of Israel should be land of the corn, also as heaven should drop down dew. So
when it's all said and done, how is the children of Israel going to be according to verse 28? They're going to do what? They gonna be dwelling safety alone.
Right there. So that's the point we're making. When it's all said and done, that those that is gonna make it. So we rehearsing the life of Zach and what Josh Fryer did. He laid out some things as a shadow to see what would you do with the shadow. Now, hold that point. Back up to young lion, brother. Back up to the 40th chapter, verse 4 of the book, Jeremiah. What do that say? We're going to take a look at something. See, it's no accident when you when things come up, you got to know how to not be rattled up and just deal with it according to scripture. Now, what do it say in 40 verse 4 that we can read?
The book of Jeremiah, this year, chapter 40, verse 4 reads, "And now, behold, I loose you this day from the chains which were upon your hands. If it seem good unto you, then come with me into Babylon. Come, and I will look well unto you. But if it seem ill unto you, then come with me into Babylon. For there, behold, all the land is before you, where it seems good and convenient for you to go. There come."
So all the land is before you. That was we just got to read. Now, the land is before us for what reason that we can read in Jeremiah 1 and pick it up in verse number 10. What is the land is before the children of the book? Jeremiah 1 verse 10 says what?
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 1 verse 10 reads, "See, I have this day set you over the nation, and over the kingdoms, to root out, and to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant."
Oh, so it got to be thrown down to build and to plant. So what do verse 5 say there, young man?
Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a seer unto the nation."
Mm-hmm. So we got a job to do, and we know we're going to be hit on every side, but Yahweh is going to. Now, how do this job be done? Let's find out how it's done. And we'll look at 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1 and 2. Then fold on to verse 14 and from Micaiah, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles 31, 2 through 14. And Mother E, help me Numbers chapter 7, verse 2, 11 and 12. And then skip down to 10, verse 1, 13 and 14. You got that, Mother E? So now we're going to take a look at some things, exactly what's going on, because sometimes you have to make adjustments, because the throwdown must be done, then the build-up must be done, and the signs of the throwdown, when you look to the right and see nothing there. So now, we know the timeline is sometime next month. And gonna be nothing there on the right hand side. So that means a throwdown will be there. Then the process of building will be next on planting. Planting has already started. Building and planting starts real soon. But let's find out exactly by making this alteration. But we have to come out the mindset. We gotta come out of Mother B of Israel. You got to come out this mindset, Mother B. F. Israel. James chapter 4 down to verse 8. What does it say? James chapter 4 down to verse 8, Mother B. F. Israel. What do James 4 down to verse 8 say? Come on.
Okay. James chapter 4. 4-8. James chapter 4, verses 4-8. Verse 4. You adulterer and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. Verse 5. Do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, Yahweh resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to Yahweh. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 8. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. Clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your mind, you double-minded.
See, it's double-minded when you think that when you, matter of fact, that's called Stockholm Syndrome. When you think that you got a better shot by looking at somebody look like somebody else, and then you're more comfortable being around somebody else, I should understand one thing. It's time to build up our peoples, and Yahweh gonna pass the devil, and that's why he laying everything out for us to see it unfold itself. He'll show you a shadow of it. But we got to believe that. We got to stop being scared of our own peoples and not trusting our own peoples. And that's why the peoples that you got to trust is the one that's in 2 Corinthians, Mother D. F. Israel, 6:14-18. See, you got to understand because a person look like you, but how do you know who to trust? Well, the Bible tells you who to trust and who not to trust. See, all you got to do is believe the Bible. And 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18, what did it say, Mother D.F. Israel?
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Verse 14, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? 15, and what concord has Yahweh the Son with Baal? Or what part has he that believe with an infidel? 16, and what agreement has the temple of Yahweh with idols? For you are the temple of the living Yahweh, as Yahweh has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be you separated, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says Yahweh Almighty.
Mother D.F. Israel, in verse 17, what is he calling the other nations that is not upon, even Israel, that's not upon the covenant of Yahweh? According to verse 17, read that again and expound on what is he saying in verse 17.
Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be you separated, says Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Yahweh saying separated from the other nations.
Yeah.
For they unclean.
What word did he call them? A thing, didn't he? He called them a thing, didn't he? Didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's precept that and see what that thing means. Mother dear Israel. You see, his Bible, well, see, the Bible got a lot of codes to it. He said, touch not the unclean thing. Now, we go and find out what they're talking about by going to a book called Ecclesiastes. And we're going to find out what that word means. You see? See, now, once you find out what a word means, and now he done told you what not to do. Now, you chose to continue doing it anyway with the knowledge, and that's when your clock's going to start kicking on you. He said, trust not the unclean thing. Let's go to the 6th chapter, verse 17 of Ecclesiastes. What is he talking about that we can read, Mother dear of Israel?
Ecclesiastes, chapter 6. You say chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Verse what?
Verse number 10 and 11. Chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 out of the regular book. We're trying to find out what is this thing he's talking about. He said, touch not this thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10. That which has been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Verse 11. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better?
So who's he calling thing? Who he saying trust not that thing? What thing he talking about, mother?
Man.
So back up to 1 Corinthians 5:12, and let's see what he say. 1 Corinthians 5:12, we get back on course. So you see, you know, we watch them unfold themselves, and you like this basketball player. He said, Mom, we finally made it. So that gave him opportunity. Now he got him a daughter of Esau. And then from that point on, this brother had more injuries to his body than any athlete in pro history. Behind the statement he made, we done finally made it. So that means he can get him a Cadillac and get him a white woman. That's what that means. He can get him a Cadillac and a white woman. Mm-hmm. And this brother had more interest to his body than any pro athlete in any sports behind his statement. So that's why he tell you. That's why I said, I'm not going to receive you until you don't trust the unclean things. The thing we talk about is man. Man is the other 17 nations. And also Israel, that's not up under the bond of the covenant. Got it? Good. What it says in 5 verse 13, listen.
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. But them that are without, Yahweh judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
So when you're not up under the covenant, according to verse 13, what are you? According to verse 13, mother, dear Israel.
A wicked person.
So you see that? And see, once we understand these things, we won't be so quick to rather go to be in such a hurry to get around somebody else. We'll try to find out who up on the banner of YHW and see can you be up on there, and he's going to use this ministry for an example as a shadow. He going to check out everything south, north, east, west. Then he going to see what you hear the trumpet blow. Now, to say all that, now we're going back before we read any of that, hey, Mother Eve, let's go to Numbers chapter 7, look at the foundation first. Hey, Mother Eve, Numbers 7 verse 2, let's get down to 11 and 12. Let's look at the foundation first, Mother. Mother Eve, Numbers chapter 7, verse 2, 11, and 12. Come on.
Numbers chapter 7, verse 32.
Well, make it verse 2. We'll start at verse 2 and skip down 11 and 12.
11 and 12. Okay. Numbers chapter 7, verse 2, verse 11 and verse 12. Numbers chapter 7, verse 2. That the priests of Israel, heads of the family of their father, who were the prince of the tribe and were over them, that were numbered officers. Verse 11.
But hold on, what is it saying in verse 2? What is it saying that you just got to read in verse 2?
Oh, okay, it said the prince of Israel and the heads of the family of the tribe, of the heads of the fathers, who were the prince of the tribe, and were over them that were numbered.
Mm-hmm. What that mean? What that mean?
That means that the prince of the tribe was over the one that was numbered officers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do the young lions get out of that verse number 2?
That the princes of Israel, they had the leaders of the Israelites, princes, they offered to Yahuwah.
And so in order, by the Lord of leadership, Moses instructed.
Yeah, the leadership offered, yeah.
Yeah, the Lord of leadership. Moses had set up the Lord of leadership. The order, the princes of it, that's over, the leadership, the rank, and the heads of the nation of their fathers that were over them, that were numbered, to anoint the leadership. Chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 reads, neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Mm-hmm. But there was no other name that was given among man that whereby we must be saved by. And what time around that time that name was given? Because we know there was no other name given amongst man we should be saved by. But that's before we go there. What do you say over there in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, Mother Eve?
Well, I'm back again.
Okay. Hallelujah. Well,
I'm back again. So, you know, it's something that the big dignitaries want me to get at. But like I said again, I'm going to get ready when I get ready. So if I get cut off again, just do the same thing you get ready to do. You just got to do it. So, That's just the way it is. I mean, I get it with this memo saying, but I'm going to get it when I get ready. Probably before the broadcast over it and not until. So now, Mother Eve, I want to come back and look at that verse one more time because I want to look at something that got to be done. But it got to be done in order. So you know one thing, Yahweh is not kicking in until we're in order. Playing y'all up the top. And see, as long as we continue to look at this other man as with the Stockholm Syndrome and try to see what his hand is, we'll never get our hand right. So, Mother, you read already verse 7, verse 2. Now, skip down to 11 and 12. Numbers chapter 7. You read 2, read 11 and 12, Lord.
On Numbers chapter 7, verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince, on his day for the dedication of the altar. And verse 12. And he that offers his offering, and he that offered his offering the first day for Nahor, the son of Amadat of the tribe of Yahdai Judah.
Mm-hmm. So now, so when it's time to take care of Yahweh's business, Mother, who's supposed to take the lead role? Who's supposed to be the first one to step to the plate?
Yahdai Judah.
Excellent. Now go to Numbers chapter 10 and look at verse 1, 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, 13 and 14. What does it say?
Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, 13 and 14.
Yes, ma'am.
Numbers chapter 10, verse 1. And the Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying, verse 13. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Yahweh by the hand of Moses. Verse 14. In the first place went the standing of the camp of the children of Yahdai Judah, according to their army, and over his host was Nahshon, the son of Amminadab.
Mm-hmm. So again, whenever some business that pertained to Yahweh's business pertained to the 12 tribes of Israel, who's supposed to lead out first there, Mother?
The lead out first is still Yahdai Judah.
Still Yahdai Judah. And remember, you don't change. So that's who's supposed to lead out Yahdai Judah pertaining to Yahweh's business. Now, Brother Titus, in the second Chronicle 24, verse 1, 2, go down to verse 14 says what?
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1 and verse 2, skip down verse 4 to 14. 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1 reads, Joab was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years, and just under the kingdom of Yahdai. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. Verse 2, and Joab did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. Skip down verse 4 to 14. And it came to pass after that, Joab was minded to repair the temple of Yahweh. Verse 5, and he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the cities of Yahdai and gather all of Israel money to repair the temple of your Yahweh from year to year. and see that ye have hastened the matter. Howbeit the Levites hasted it not. Verse 6, and the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said to him, why have you not required of the Levites to bring in out of Yada and out of the subjugation the collection according to the Torah instructions of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness. Verse 7, for the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, have broken up the temple of Yahweh, and also all the dedicated things of the temple of Yahweh, did that bestow upon Baalim. Verse 8, and at the king's command, they made a check and set it without at the gate of the temple of Yahweh. Verse 9, and they made a proclamation throughout Yada and of the southern kingdom of Yada to bring in to Yahweh the collection that Moses, the servant of Yahweh, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. Verse 10, and all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until that made an end. Verse 11, now it came to pass at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the check and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in the bundle. Verse 12, and the king Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the temple of Yahweh, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the temple of Yahweh, and also such as brought iron and brass and mint the temple of Yahweh. Verse 13, and so the workmen wrought, and the work was perfect by them, and they set the temple of Yahweh in the state and stricted it. Verse 14, and when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king. And Jehoiada, where were made vessels for the temple of Yahweh, even vessels to minister, and to offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the temple of Yahweh continually all the days of Jehoiada.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 5, 11, and 14 one more time. 5, 11, and 14.
5, 11, and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 5, 11, and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 5. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out to the cities of Yada and gather all this real money to repair the temple of your Yahweh from year to year. And see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten it not. Verse 11 reads, now it came to pass at what time that the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in the bundle. Verse 14, when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king, and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the temple of Yahweh, even vessels to minister, to offer withal spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings, temple of Yahweh continually, all the days of Jehoiada.
Yeah, so that's why we know we're not beating the hell. We know exactly what to do, but we can read what to do. And that's why we tell the citizens on the camp, get off your hands. Take your hand from off under the seat. And let's do some Bible. Because one thing about it, south, east, north, west, got to be secure. And then Yahweh will show the next move. So we got to make sure we drop a verse 14. Read verse 14 again.
2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 14. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king, and Jehoiada, whereof they made vessels for the temple of Yahweh, even vessels to minister and to offer with all spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the temple of Yahweh continually all the days of Jehoiada.
Mm-hmm. That means we got to finish this project. The project we own. We got to finish it, not otherwise take a cameo appearance at it. We got to finish this work. That's what we got to do. We got to according to the scripture. We got to do the 5, 11, and 14. We got to get out there among Yahweh's Judah and get this and finish this. Then Yahweh will go to the next move. Now, for our young line from Micaiah, go to 31, verse 2 down to verse 20. Like I said again, the right side will be down, and we got to secure all four corners of this triple site. So we got to get in it according to verse 5, 11, and 14. What it says in 2 Chronicles 31, 2 down to verse 20. What does it say?
Okay. The book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 31, verse 2, down to verse 12. Let's still read. Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites, for burnt offering and for peace offering, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of Yahweh. Verse 3. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offering, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offering, and the burnt offering for the Sabbath, and for the new month, and for the feast, for the set feast, as it is written for the law of Yahweh. Verse 4. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt at Yahdah's duty to give the portion of the priest Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of Yahweh. Verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and a tithe of all things bought they in abundance. And concerning the children of Israel, the northern children of Israel and Yahdah Judah that dwelt in the cities of Yahdah Judah, they also bought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of righteous things which were consecrated unto Yahweh, their Yahweh, and laid them by heat. Verse 7. In the third month, they began to lay the foundation of the heat, and finished them in the seventh month. Verse 8. And when Hezekiah and the prince came and saw the heat, they blessed Yahweh and his chief of Israel. Verse 9. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priest Levite concerning the heat. Verse 10. And Hezariah, chief priest of the house of Dothan, answered him and said, since the people begin to bring the offerings into the temple of Yahweh, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For Yahweh has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. Verse 11. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the temple of Yahweh, and they prepared, verse 12, and bought in the offering and the tithe and the dedicated things faithful, over with Benaiah the Levite was ruler, and Shemai, his brother, was the next.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying, verse 6 and 10?
Okay. Second Chronicles, chapter 31, verse 6 and verse 10. Verse 6 reads, and concerning the children of Israel, Yahdah Judah, that dwelt in the city of Yahdah Judah, they also bought in a tithe of oxen and sheep and a tithe of righteous things which were consecrated unto Yahweh, their Yahweh, and made them by heat. Verse 10. and has a right to chief priest of the house of Dothan after him and said, "If the people begin to bring the offering into the temple of Yahuwah, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For Yahuwah has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store."
So now we see how Yahuwah kick in and right. See, once we do what the man tells us to do, then we know what that you know change on what he wants to be done. So that's there you go. So that's what we talking about. Now, Mother C. F. Israel, I want to look at something. And matter of fact, Micaiah, young man, find me that book called Nicodemus, chapter 14. Have that waiting on me 1-8. Have me Nicodemus 14. Just find it, just pat it to the side because we want to take care of a few things on the way of taking Nicodemus 14, 1-8. Just have that kind of sitting to the side. We're going to take a look at something in Nicodemus 14, 1-8. Shortly, but we're going to see if I Mother D of Israel and take a look at something in Colossians 2:16. And we don't know what this means. Colossians chapter 2, Mother D of Israel. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse number 16. What is that we can read in Colossians 2:16?
Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect or of the new month or of the Sabbath day. Days.
See, this is what we fall off on the wagon right there in 2:16. This is what the big camps use and justify them the Sunday, the Lord God and Jesus, because they'll drop 2:16 on you and you can't get off Monday. See, now, I've been interrupted about 3-4 times because they were saying to me, the Latter-day Saints here, what about 2:16? We want to hear something about the breakdown of 2:16, because we got you now. So read verse 2:16. So I've been interrupted about 4 times in the night's broadcast, reminding me, what about Colossians 2:16? Read it again, 2:16. Come on. Read just the way you see it. Yeah, read it again, just the way you see it. Because this is a stronghold that I've been interrupted with about 4 times, and saying, when you going to read to our national audience Colossians 2:16? Okay, let me read.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a righteous day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
Mm-hmm. So he says, and read another verse. Read another verse. Let's pour it on real quick. Read another verse.
Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Yahuwah the Son.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why we keep Sunday and you can't judge us on what day we worship. You know, you can't judge us on, you know, we can do whatever day that we prefer that's best for us. So you can't judge six morning camps on what day to worship. We do Sunday, you do Saturday. What's the problem? See? Now they got you on that. That's right. Now, but how would you get up out of that? We have to be able to raise our level up because the 2:16 They said, see, fear, we got you now. All right, let's see exactly who the letter addressed to in 2:16. Mother, back up and just read what you see in Colossians 1, verse 2. Let's find out who the letter addressed to first in Colossians 1, verse 2.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 2.
And four.
Verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Yahuwah the Son, which are at Colossians, grace be unto you. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Yahuwah the Son and of the love which you have to all the saints.
So we find out that this Colossian letter was wrote to the brothers called the saints. So now that's what we're just going to find out. So this letter was addressed to the brethren that was called the saints. So this was Paul writing his letter to when he telling them, now, with that understanding, let's see what he told them brothers in 2:16 again. So he was writing those that's over there in the Colossians, that's over there in Colossus, the brethren, the saints. So he wrote a letter to them and told them what in 2:16?
Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of and right holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
So he writing to the brothers that was in Colossus called Colossians, and he was telling them, don't let nobody judge you, because Paul was bringing something to them that they had got away from. So Paul was bringing them about something that we can read. Let's see what Paul was bringing them, Mother E. Let's see what Paul was bringing them for them to have it on his mind. So, Mother E, we need to find out what was Paul bringing them that we can read in the 17th chapter, in the 17th chapter of Acts. Let's see what Paul is bringing them that caused all that stir up. Let's see what he was bringing them in 17 verse 2. Read verse 1 to get warmed up. So if you can't pronounce the name, just pronounce the first letter and keep it moving. Let's see what he was bringing them that had them all that uproar over there in the 17th chapter, verse 1 and 2. So this is the reason why we was interrupted. This is the reason why we was interrupted in four times to make sure that we told you we got you now and we're going to get you tonight in Colossians 2:16. So look at 17 verse 1 and 2 and let's show you where they said we got you now in 2:16, and we found out that letter was addressed to the scattered Israelites that's over in Colossae. Now, Paul, in the 17th chapter, verse 1 and 2, Mother, let's talk about it, what he was talking about. Come on.
The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 2. And when they had passed through Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a temple of God of Judah. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and their Sabbath day reasoned with them out of the scripture.
So Paul went over them, and Paul was reasoning with them out of what they were. Paul was getting them prepared, and he went over there and reasoned with the Jews, which is Yada Judah, and the northern kingdom, on what day did Paul look for them on? Come on.
On the Sabbath day.
On the Sabbath day. And you see, that Colossians 2:15 is talking about the misinformed Israelites. So when Paul was trying to explain them misinformed Israelites that were there, all that they're doing is wrong, then he told them, don't let nobody judge you behind what this information I'm bringing to you. Now we go to the 18th chapter.
Mother.
And let's see what Paul says in the 18th chapter. And we'll pick up at verse 1 down to verse 2. 18, 1, 2, and 4. Let's see what's going on. 18th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 4. See, sooner or later, you know y'all going to be hemmed up. And they're going to drop that Colossians 2:16 on you and say, well, we waiting, we got you now, so when are you going to put your head on the chopping block, because we got you on 2:16. No, you ain't got the fixing on the council. Matter of fact, you got head. You're going to get head some more. Now, we go on, what are we reading there, Mother?
Acts chapter 18, verse 1, 2, and 4.
And Mother D.F. Israel had me 45:17 of the book called Ezekiel waiting on me, Mother D.F. Israel.
Okay. The book of Acts chapter 18, verse 1, 2, and 4. Verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Verse 2. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, that later came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Yahya Judah to depart from Rome and came unto them, and come unto them. Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Yahya Judah and the Greeks.
Now read where you see it. Now read where you see it. So Paul, when he got there, he persuaded, he got into that temple, and he was there, what day?
The Sabbath day.
What kind of Sabbath day, according to that verse? Every Sabbath he was there. So Paul was there every Sabbath, and he was persuading who? What they call again?
Jews and Greeks.
They was called Jews and Greeks. Good. Excellent. That was, so they was called Jews and Greeks. So there they go right there. So now, if they was called Jews and Greeks, what they got to do with the Israelites? Because here's the point. If you're a Jew, I don't know no Israelite call themselves a Jew. And I don't know Israelite call themselves a Greek. So if you go up under that terminology, that means you're not even in the equation. See, so we don't identify as the Jew. So that Jew in the book is talking about somebody else. That Greek in the Bible talking about somebody else, where they twist it. So now, if you follow their way, the Jew and the Greek eliminate you, period. Because you don't never call yourself no Jew. You never call yourself no Greek. So right then and now, with that terminology, Jew and Greek, that means you're not even in the picture. That means there's nobody in the picture but Jews and Greeks. The Jews don't mean us. The Greek don't mean us. So long as you got that mindset about the Jew and the Greek, you will never see yourself in this book. And see, that's the way they love it for you to be. You're Jew or Greek. That means the people of the book is nowhere in sight at all. When you use that terminology, Jew and Greek. Yeah. So that must mean the Jew and Greek must mean something, but you got to be able to read it. Mother D.F. Israel, so let's see that Colossians 2:16. So now we clear what he was talking about. Now we go into the history of it by going to 45 verse 17 of Ezekiel. See, listen, you got many ways to deal with the big dignitaries, but long as you identify being a Jew or a Greek, that means you're not even in the picture. That means you're not even in the picture. That's what it means by being a Jew or a Greek. Ezekiel 45:17. But we try to get you back in the picture. See, what we trying to do is get you back in the picture. That's all we trying to do. And we're going to get those that got an ear to hear back in the picture through the pages of the book. But as long as you identify being, you know you're not a Jew. You know you're not a Greek. So we got to let them have that statement. And then you got to go in the book and get busy. Can't run your mouth now. Got to know how to go in the book and get busy. Watch Mother D.F. Israel get busy in 45:17. Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 17. And it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offering and meat offering and drink offering in the feast and in the new moon and in the Sabbath and all Solomite of the family of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering to make reconciliation for the family of Israel.
You see that? So that what he was telling you, these are things that they have lost. These are things that they have lost or have been lost in their mind by breaking away in 1 Kings 11 and 12. So Paul was bringing to their attention that on the Sabbath day, how you supposed to conduct yourself on the Sabbath day until something happened in Hebrews 10:1. Now let's go back to Hebrews 10:1 now, Mother D.F. Israel. See, when you go down in Colossians 2:16, that is pointing toward 45:17, showing you that the order about how to keep the burnt offering, Sabbath days, and everything. But then it was also said something happened, Colossians. We want you to know, because you've been separated so long, now you can go to Hebrews 10:1 and hear a little bit more about what you have been lacking of information. Hebrews 10:1, let's read a little bit, come on.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continuously made the commerce thereunto perfect.
So what are you saying? So now hold that part. So when you it had nothing to do with about respective persons of anything. It was talking about the order of things. Now they can show you when Yahweh came in the flesh that he came to remove the animals and the ordinance that they had based upon animal sacrifice. But he never came to change the Sabbath day or feast days or wearing your garments and none of that. So this is what you have to have, these three verses to tie it all in, that what they was really talking about, but you just can't jump down in 2:16 and call the day, but 2:16 is talking about the Israelites not the other nations, period. So when they read this, first of all, it was an A and B conversation, WCC, before to see your way out of it anyway. It wasn't about you keeping the Sabbath day one way or the other. It was about the children of Israel. See? So we read verse 1, now skip down to verse 9 down to 13, mother.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 to 13. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do your will, O Yahuwah. He's taken away the first that he might establish the second. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahuwah the Son once for all. Verse 11. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of Yahuwah the Father. Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
So from that point on, now go to Beginning 19:27, the book of Luke. So now Yahuwah's son said, I'm done my part, Father. Now I'm expecting those that's not to understand the blood covenant, they it can be my enemies to come. And that represents those that's not upon the covenant. So those want to keep Sunday, Lord God and Jesus, you his enemy. And this is what he's going to say that we can read in 19:27 of Luke to the enemies that want to twist his day, the Sabbath day, bring this land and come up another way. This is what Yahuwah is going to say when the Father turned him loose in 19:27 of Luke. What are you going to say, Mother?
Luke chapter 19, verse 27. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
You see that? So that's what's going to happen. But now he's sending the six anointed camps to do what? In Psalms 69, verse 4. So what we're doing by patiently going through all the abuse, but we've been appointed to take care of his business, all the innuendos. But what we're doing is a 69, verse 4, Mother D. F. Israel. So this is what the six anointed camps is geared up to do.
You say Psalms
69, verse 4.
Psalms 69, verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemy wrongfully, are mightier than I. Restore that which I took not away.
So what we're doing, Mother Deb, is there? So what we trying to do to this lost Israelite, not the other nation, we trying to do what in the last line?
Restore that
what?
Which... Oh, okay.
That what?
That which I took not away.
We didn't take this away from you. You know, the other nation, we're trying to restore back to you how to bring Yahuwah in the picture. See, we try to restore a shadow by showing you that prototype. We're trying to show you some things. Because we, in the book of EZRA, Brother Titus, in the book of EZRA, chapter 4, Brother Titus, can you help us see out what he got written in EZRA, chapter 3. We're trying to restore back to the people of the book that you're not going to make it by with the mindset that you have by thinking that the other nation is going to pull you out, because that's going to cost you in the long run. And we try to restore back to you what we took not away. See, I'm trying to tell you, you got to do what this Bible saying, and right now we got a problem with what this Bible saying. Now, in EZRA there, Brother Titus, can you help us see out of what it says in EZRA chapter 4, because it was a letter pertaining to this right here and that what's going on now. EZRA chapter, pick up the verse number 11, and we'll read straight on down to verse number 14. 11 to 14, what it say? Brother Titus, let's see what it says in EZRA chapter 4, verse 11 down to verse 14. Let us say we can read.
Ezra chapter 4, verse 11, all the way down to verse 14. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even to Artaxerxes, the king, your servants, the man on this side, the river, at such a time. Verse 12. But it known to the king that Yadav, which came upon you, to us, are coming to the southern kingdom, building the rebellion, the bad city, and has set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundation. Verse 13. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll tribute and customs, and so that you advantage the revenue of the king, the revenue of the king. Verse 14. Not because we have maintenance from the king's power, and it was not meant for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, have we sent and certified the king.
Before you read 18 down to verse 20, see that? So there go that Stockholm system right there. See that Stockholm, we got more, we learn more about the other nations than ourselves. See, that was called Stockholm system. Right there.
Yeah.
We watching that one eye Satan. We're doing everything contrary to what Yahweh's telling you to do. And you got more. Give me a word.
Yeah.
We're going to give me a
more
word.
More Americanized.
You more Americanized, you're modernized. See, you're not watching the signs of the time of the Bible. You're watching the Americanized. The bottom line is Bill Gates is buying up all the land. Other billionaires that's billionaires too, they don't start getting buy up all the land. They buy up all the land so they can have a specific land crop to come to you after an airplane fly over first and drop all the on it. Then this part goes to the neighborhoods that, so we know our people ain't gonna be in that neighborhood. So this truck take it to the stores in that neighborhood. And we trying to restore back to you, telling you we got our own garden. But we sit on our hands and not even looking at the garden that we got of ourselves. We got to fence in our garden. We got to plant our thing, because he'll make it plain. What he says in he'll make it plain about his servants. Go give me 18 through 20. What it says in 18 to 20?
Ezra chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. The letter which you sent unto us had been plainly read before me. Verse 19. And I commanded, and search had been made, and it's found that this city of old times had made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and seditious have been made therein. Verse 20. There have been mighty kings over Yada Judah, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and tall tribute and customs was paid unto them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're saying the history that you do not know, you always think you've been African American, Negro, and colored super coon all your life. And that's why you can make statements, and that's why you proudly go and sit up your bricks among somebody else. Because we have been destroyed, but we trying to give back to you that you ain't always was like this. That we are now. We are at our lowest point, but Yahweh is using this ministry for the sign to show you that we're going to be prepared, because what they're doing right now with you, they is going to have you, it won't be long, where you going to go get your banana. It might cause you more than a stick of plat on your tie. A banana. See, I'm telling you in advance, but you're not listening to us. That's why Yahweh blessed us to have the land, north, east, south, west. We gotta be prepared, because Yahweh made plain to Isaiah in 65, verse number 13. What did he say? This is what Yahweh said. Now you believe Isaiah? You don't. What did Isaiah say?
The book of Isaiah. Chapter 65, verse 13 reads, therefore thus said Yahweh, behold, my servant shall eat, but you should be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you should be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you should be ashamed.
You see that? So he let you know his servants don't eat. But you remember, you got to be a servant of Yahweh, but he can't recognize us now. Because he recognizes now. He's looking at, right now, when you look at us, all he sees is James 2, verse 3. What it say there, young man? What it say in James 2, 3?
We're going to book of James, chapter 2. Book of James, chapter 2, verse 3 reads, but you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Says to him, did you hear that? It's a good place.
You kick it against what Yahweh gave you was the fringes, and you rather kick and be like the old Carrollton cigarette commercial, fight and switch. You rather fight than switch to what Yahweh saying the blessings is in the fringes, and you rather fight than switch to what Yahweh recognized his people through the fringes. And we thaw from that. We like the other nation. We look, talk, and respond to other nations more than the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelites. So now let me backtrack a little bit, because I want to take a look at something that Brother Micaiah. Now, in that vision of Paul, I want to run to the vision of Paul, because Paul had a statement he made. But before we read the vision of Paul, find me the vision of Paul 44. The young lion, Brother Micaiah. Mother D.F. Israel, kind of get me warmed up, Mother D.F. Israel. What it says in Exodus 31:17, that Mother Eve had me at 3:19 waiting on me. And we go on the vision of Paul. Acts 3:19, after Mother D.F. Israel read 31:17 of Exodus.
Okay. Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
You see that? And he rested and was refreshed. So that Sabbath day is the sign. So you know Paul was raised from the womb. So Paul was not telling the Colossians, don't keep the Sabbath day. he was telling, on the contrary, keep the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath day is what Yahweh said, it is your sign. So if you ain't got the Sabbath day, you don't have a sign. And after he completed that, what did he do? He got what? And was what, mother?
He was rested and refreshed.
You see that? So you know that you've been taught wrong about 216. Look at what WCC said. See, you got us on that one. Well, we're going to get you on everything on the real side because this is what we do. So you will be got on everything when it comes down this book. So now, Acts 3:19.
Book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out, and the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Yahweh.
So you're not the time of the refreshing, we just read it, after refreshment, after he's rest and he was refreshed. So he's saying, listen, repent. So if you're not doing the Sabbath day, repent and get with it. Get with it before the day of refreshment comes. Because that's going to be the day of rest. He rested and was refreshed. You got a day coming where you're going to rest and be refreshed. So, but now, if you continue by jumping down in 216 of grace and think that, you know, that holds something. Yeah, you ain't got the real beginning. The bottom line is the refreshment is the bottom line is when Yahweh, if you're not getting the Sabbath, you will not get the refreshment. Now, we get to get a case in point. Now, Paul was raised from the womb. I'll read that real quick, that might be up there. Paul was raised from the womb from the story of Galatians chapter 1. See, Paul was raised from the womb to get his knock out blow, and he was telling them exactly what he owned in Galatians chapter 1, and then we come back to Brother Micaiah in the business of Paul 44, and watch what they said, that you refuse to hear what we're telling you. Let's see what it says in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, Mother D of Israel. And pick up the verse number 15 and 16.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 15. But when it pleased Yahweh, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, my 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood.
So Paul was raised from the womb to tell you this in the vision of Paul. Sure is not canon. But Paul, if you're going to believe this in Paul, then you might well believe what Brother Micaiah getting ready to read, because he didn't read End Time Prophecy, because he was raised from the womb to give you a 44, first, pick up verse number 1, and Vision of Paul 44, come on. You understand?
Okay. Vision of Paul, picking it up at verse 44. 44 verse 1, read. And I looked and saw the heaven move like a tree shaken by the wind. Suddenly, moreover, they threw themselves on their faces in the sight of the throne. And I saw 24 elders and 24,000 adoring Yahweh. And I saw an altar and veil and throne, and all were rejoicing. The smoke of a good odor was raised near the altar of the throne of Yahweh. And I heard the voice of one saying, for the sake of what to do, you are ministering spirits and ministers intercede. And they cried out, saying, we intercede in your
seeing your many kindnesses to the human race. And after these things, I saw the Son of Yahuwah descending from heaven. And they did him a crown was on his head. And seeing him, those who were placed in punishment exclaimed all with one voice saying, "Have pity, son of the high Yahuwah. You are he who shows refreshment for all in the heavens and on earth. And on us, likewise, have pity. For since we have seen you, we have refreshment." And a voice went out from the Son of Yahuwah through all the punishment, saying, "And what work have you done that you demand refreshment from me?" My voice
was
pulled
out. Hold that point. That's good enough right there. See, I know that sounds good, but here's the point. So you see that refreshment that was going to ask you.
Israel.
Yeah.
All right. So like we just go just drop a keep the ball game rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You know we got Daniel 7. I'm checking everything out right now. We'll just see, we'll drop a couple lines down and just see how things go. If not, you know, Mother Z will be probably ready to just announce an audit as well. So, but right now we go. We're gonna pick it up at Psalms 116 and verse 13. Mother Tati. We get Mother Z ready to get warmed up.
Book of Psalms.
Bring that in, Brother Tati.
The book of Psalms, 116, verse 13, reads, "And I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahuwah."
Mm-hmm. That's what we'll do. We'll take the cup of salvation. We'll call upon the name of Yahuwah. You know it all. What Yahuwah said over there, Mother, in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. You know, when you pray in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, and Mother Zeep, he's probably getting ready to come out the bullpen and hit a home run to the national audience. Yes, ma'am.
Isaiah 42:8-3. I am the Yahuwah, that is my name.
Mm-hmm.
And honor will I not give to another. Neither will I praise to a graven image.
Mm-hmm. So, Yahuwah said that's his name. He's not going to give his name to no other. You know, and what do you say over there in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23 down to 25, Brother Titus Israel, and I think that's your kid Mother Z all warmed up and ready to close the national audit. What you got over there, Brother Titus Israel, see you, Roy?
Isaiah chapter 45, verse
23
down to 25.
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23 reads, "As one by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
It will not return back unto me. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." Verse 24, "Surely, shall one say unto Yahuwah, have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall man come, and all that will incense against him shall be ashamed." Verse 25, "In Yahuwah shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall honor."
Mm-hmm. So, when you talk about his name, let me get one more in there, Brother Titus. Let me say something about his name. We want to make sure what his name, we're going to find his name back. And Sack of Nazareth, chapter 3. We'll pick it up at verse 32. And verse, give me verse 32, 34, and 36. Back in there, chapter 3, verse 32, 34, and 36. We want to make sure we let the national audience know what his name will be found there. Because, I'm going to let the book do the talk. What do you say over there?
Second Ezra, chapter 3, verse 32, 34, 36. Second Ezra, chapter 3, verse 32 reads, for as any other people have known you beside Israel, or what generation has so believed your covenant as Israel?
Well, he said, ain't nobody know him but Israel, right? Israel's the only one that got the covenant.
That's right.
Okay. Continue to read.
Verse 34 reads, where you therefore our wickedness now in the valley, and did also dwell in the world, and so shall my name nowhere be found but in Israel.
Where his name will be found at?
In Israel, but in Israel.
Mm-hmm. 36.
You shall find that Israel by name had kept your precepts, but not to the other 17 nations.
So there you go. The only ones that had the covenant had the name is Israel, and it had the Torah structure, the first five books of the Bible. Israel had it all. And what we're going to do is we're going to bring in our Mother's D. We say, Mother's D, tribe of Yahdah Judah. D. Roy, Yahweh bless you, Mother's D, Israel.
Yahweh bless and keep you, Teacher Micaiah. Hallelujah.
Well, right now, you know, I know you're in the bullpen getting all warmed up, taking out those scriptures, Mother's D. I know you got something to say to the national audience right now. You know, the field right now probably getting wrapped around like right now. So wrestling with WCC, you know, you just hit him with a major blow. I know you heard it. So you on the clock, and I know you got something to say to the national audience right now. You up, Mother D?
I'm just going to read something that's being taught by the teachers and by the CEO to the national audience. First Timothy. Chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 9. In like manner also that a woman adorn herself in marble appearance, modern appears, a parable will shame. Shamefaced and
right
and not with dirt. I mean, hair and gold. What'd you say?
And not with broided.
Gorded hair or gold or
pearl
or but which become woman professional godly Yahwaliness which with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, neither to or to usher authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived, which was in the transgression, verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbirth, if they continue in faithfulness and charity and holiness with soberness,
sobriety.
And then I'm going to turn to First Peter, chapter 3, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. First Peter. Whosoever adorned.
First Peter,
chapter 3, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let it not be that outwards adorned of pleasure, the hair and putting on a appearance, verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the mind in that which is not corrupt, even the ordinance of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the might of the Yahweh, great five. But after this manner in the old time, the righteous woman also, who trusted in Yahweh, adorned themselves, being in subjected unto their own husband. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him her Yahweh, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not after afraid with any amazement. Verse 7, likewise, he husband dwell with them according to knowledge. Is that dwell or deal? I don't know. Likewise, he husband deal with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto their wives as unto the weaker vessel, and as being
heir
together for the honor of life, that he pray be not that of life, that your prayer be not hidden. And I would just like to say hallelujah. Okay.
What we're going to do is we're going to see if our elder is on the line. We should get our elder in to his closing statement and to the national audience. The elder not on the elder Tibbs. Elder Mr. Tibbs. Okay. Sound like our elder not on the line. So Mother Z just got done reading out some good scriptures here. And we wanna check them out over there in the book of Titus. And over there in Book of Titus chapter 2, we're gonna pick it up at verse 1. We're gonna do a little reading down to verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 1, all the way down to verse 5. Brother Titus, Israel,
yes, sir. I was going to the Book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 reads,
mm-hmm.
But speak ye the things which become sound doctrine, teaching. Verse 2,
mm-hmm.
That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in covenant, belief, in charity, in patience. Verse 3,
mm-hmm.
The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior, becoming righteousness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teaches a good thing. Verse 4. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children. Verse 5. To be discreet.
Hold on, now, Brother Titus. Let me stop real fast. Just say something. Excuse me. Let's give a description of an aged man and of an aged woman. But let's go see a couple that was a good old age. And let's see how what Yahweh had to say about the aged man, the aged woman. I want to see some of the couple. So let's slide over here in the book of Luke. Mother D.F. Israel. You still there, Mother D.F.?
Yeah, I'm here.
I knew Yahweh. All right, Mother D.F. Israel. Can you give me Luke chapter 1? Can you give me verse 5 and verse 6?
Luke 1,
mm-hmm.
chapter 5. I mean, Luke 1, verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
And
chapter
what other verse you said?
And 6.
5 and 6.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. There was in the day of Herod, the king of Yahda, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abba, of his wife was of the daughter of Aaron,
mm-hmm.
and her name was Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6, and they were
mm-hmm.
both righteous before
they
Yahweh.
Both were mother, and they both
before
were.
Yahweh. Both righteous.
So they both was righteous before Yahweh, right?
Yeah.
Okay, continue to read.
Walking in all the Torah instruction and ordained of Yahweh blameless.
So they was all walking up.
Of Yahweh blameless.
Hallelujah. Both of them was walking righteous before Yahweh. And they was walking
yeah.
in the Torah instructions of Yahweh, right? Blame.
Yeah.
So, but what did he say in verse 7 about these two?
Verse 7?
Mm-hmm. Read verse 7.
I can't hardly read. Verse 7.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, verse 7.
And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren,
mm-hmm.
and they both were now well stricken in years.
So they was they wasn't young. These was they was, mm. but these older couple was walking, both was walking in the Torah instructions of Yahuwah. This is the elder man and the elder lady. And this is something that they were doing. And they both were keeping the Torah instructions of Yahuwah. So we just reading that Titus. Man, he's talking about the aged man and the aged woman. You know, these qualifications that the aged man and the aged woman had, the Torah instructions. Get that back up, Brother Titus, back over there in that Titus. There's something else I'm going to go run down. Are you check that Titus back up where you left off at, Brother Titus?
Yeah, I'm going to have a verse 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 5 reads, to be discreet, take, keep us at home, good, obedient to their old husband, that the word of Yahweh not blaspheme.
So Mother D had brought something to the table about how one should conduct themselves when it came to husband and wife. But here we go. We got the order right here of he tell everyone that order. So what did he say about in verse 4, Brother Titus? Verse 3 and verse 4.
Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming righteous, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4.
What's these good things that we can read? Oh, this good. So we're going to pick that good up at that Romans. We'll go to chapter 7, verse 12, Mother E. That'd be teacher of good things. So what's the good things they have to be teachers of? So what's good that we can read?
What book you said?
Romans.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 7. We want verse 12 and verse 16.
Okay. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and verse 16. Chapter 7, verse 12. But when Israel heard that there were corn in Egypt, Romans chapter 7, verse 12 and verse 16. Verse 12. Wherefore, the Torah instructions are righteous. The commandments are righteous and just and good. Verse 16. If then I do that which would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
And Mother D.F. Israel, let me get that Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. Yeah, see the Torah instructions is the good thing. Laws was good. First five books of the Bible. That's the things that got to be taught. But let's get a precept on that. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13.
Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. To keep the Torah instructions of Yahuwah and his statutes, which I command you this day for your good.
So it'd be for your good if you keep the Torah instructions. So the good things they're supposed to be teaching is the Torah instructions. That's the good, you know. And pick that back up, Brother Titus, where you left off at.
Back to Titus.
Yeah.
Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works and teaching, showing incorruptiveness, gravity, Sincerity.
You know what, Brother Titus? Now, give me that.
Verse 4.
Verse 4. We're going back to verse 4.
All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 4. And they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children.
Verse 5. Give me verse 5.
Verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, give us at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed.
As we read this, we come to find out that inside of the temple and the duty of the aged women, and inside of the temple. Let me pull a case in point here. Let's slide over to the title.
What's up?
Come over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let me get that in fact, I might gotta go run over the sack to it. But we come to find out that age women have to be ready to, how to age women have to teach the young women. So when we read that, what we pick up over here when we get to 2 Corinthians, Brother Titus. Now, help me if I'm wrong, because I could be getting my Corinthians a little thrown off. I'm struggling right now, Brother Titus. I'm looking for something pertaining to you know what I'm looking for? When it comes to these marriages and the order, the heads, the order. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Pick it up at verse 3.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 reads, But I will have you know that the head of anyone... that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father.
When we look at the order things, we see that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son. But the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father. But as we look at the order of things, we know that the father teach the wife, and the wife teach the children. When we look at this thing, what's the woman role, what she's going to teach them, is what we can read over there in the book of Second Titus.
Right.
I mean, Titus, not Second Titus, it's Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. What do you read over there, Brother Titus?
Chapter 2, verse 3. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior, as becoming righteous, not false accusers, not giving so much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husband, love their children.
Okay, so what's the mother going to be teaching the women, even at home? That we can read, but Titus, what do you say to the teacher?
Okay, according to verse 3, Titus chapter 2, verse 3.
Yes, Brother Titus, and verse 4 with it. And then bring in that verse 5 right behind.
Okay. So, the aged woman is supposed to be behavior as teaching. To teach the young women good things, which is written in the Torah, instructs teachers of good things. So they teach the young woman to be sober, love their husband, and love their children. Not only that, there's be obedient to their husband, be keepers at home, good behavior, being obedient to their husband, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed.
Mm-hmm. And then when they do teach how, in, back at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 and 5, what did it read over there?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head.
Mm-hmm. So when the man prayed or prophesied, when he reading his book, his head has to be, his head cannot be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in verse 5, what do you say in verse 5?
Verse 5, yeah. For every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonor her head. But that
okay,
is evil.
So,
all. Okay. All right. Let me finish. Let me read verse 5 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. For every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonor her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaved.
Okay. So even a woman head, when she teaching the young woman, you know, she prophesied, she's teaching a woman. Her head has to be covered up as well when she's teaching a woman, the young woman, the book. Because that's
right.
Her position. And I just wanted to tie that in, just piggyback off what Mother Z had. But if she don't have her head covered up, he says it's as if she was shaved. And if the man don't have his head covered up, when he prophesies and praying, he just out of his head, which is Yahweh the Son.
That's right.
Let's read some more of that, Brother Titus.
Okay.
Pick up at verse 7, 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the greatness of Yahweh, but the woman is the greatness, the honor of the man.
Mm-hmm. So the woman is the honor of the man, as if the man is the honor for Yahweh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
the honor of Yahweh the Son.
We honor Yahweh the Son. Read me one more verse, Brother Titus.
Verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
Mm-hmm. So the man is not of the woman, and the woman is of the man. So let's go back and let's read that encounter. It's lying over there to that book of Genesis, Mother Eve. We're going to pick it up at verse 2. Pick it up at verse 20. Pick it up at verse, let me get to the exact. I want to get a right landmark. So I won't do overread. Yeah, give me that chapter 2. Wow, that's my other page. That's my page right now. Give me chapter 2 and pick it up at verse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me get a book, Mother.
Well, I hear the sin.
All right. Give me Genesis chapter 2. And pick it up at verse 21.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21.
Uh-huh. We go read down. Matter of fact, Mother E, pick it up at verse 18. And we go read down from there.
Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
Mm-hmm. You remember, we see something he's saying that man wasn't made for the woman, that the woman came from the man. And we want to find out where the encounter came in at.
Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh said, it is not good that the man should be alone.
Mm-hmm.
That will make him a helpmeet for him. verse 19. And out of the garden, Yahweh formed every leaf of the field and every fowl of the air.
Yeah.
He brought them unto Adam.
Say the word.
To see what he could would call them.
Mm-hmm.
And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was his name thereof.
Now, Mother, Yahweh came and told Adam, now what you gonna call these creatures right here? You know, he said, whatever you call them, you know, that's the end thereof. You know, because Yahweh put it all in Adam's hand, right?
So he
said we can,
I gave him juice.
Let's see what we can read about that.
He's
going to get a stack of witness on that. And we're going to go over there to Mother D.F. Israel. Give me Jack and Ezra. We're going to pick it up at chapter 6 and pick it up at verse 54. Yeah, pick it up at verse 54, Mother D.F. Israel.
I didn't hear the chapter.
Okay, let me get 2nd Ezra. We'll go to chapter
Ezra.
6. 2nd Ezra, yes. And that in that red book. Find out, get a second case on this, because he said, Yahweh said that he told Adam to name every beast. He said whatever he named him, that's the name thereof. So what do you mean by that, that we can read? Back in Ezra chapter 6, verse 54, Mother D.F. Israel.
2nd Ezra chapter 6, verse 54.
Mm-hmm.
And after these, Adam also, whom thou madest, Yahweh of all your creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Of him come we all, and the peoples also whom thou hast chosen.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is all these? What he just said right here, he says, after these, Adam also, whom you made as Yahweh over all your creatures. So he called him Yahweh over all his creatures, right? Okay, so let's go back up. And we're getting 52 and 53, Mother D.F. Israel. And that L word is the Baptist.
2nd Ezra 6, 52,
yeah.
Verse 52, huh?
Yeah, 52 and 53. 52 and 53.
Okay. But unto, who is it?
Lethathian.
Lethathian.
Yeah,
thou gavest, well, you know, thou gavest the seventh part, namely, the moist, and has
mm-hmm.
kept him to be devoured of whom thou will, and then verse 53. Also the sixth day thou gavest commandment unto the earth, that before thee it shall bring forth beasts, cattle, and creeping things.
Mm-hmm. And then in 54, what did he say about it in 54?
And after these, Adam also, whom thou madest Yahweh of all your creatures,
mm-hmm.
of him come we all, and the people
mm-hmm.
also whom thou hast chosen.
Mm-hmm. And the people who Yahweh has chosen too. So Yahweh let him know that he called him Yahweh over all his creation.
Yeah.
And he also said the people who he have chosen. Who the people he chosen, brother Titus in the book of Isaiah chapter 44, verse 1.
Yes, sir. Brother Isaiah
slide over there.
44.
Yeah, when slide over there and give me that 43 verse 10 too.
Hallelujah, bro.
Go to Isaiah 6, chapter 44, verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 1. Read. Yet now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. You want to read verse 2? Verse 2. Thus says Yahweh that made me and formed me from the womb, which will help you. Then I, O Israel, my servant, and you, Israel, whom I have chosen.
And make that 41 verse 8.
Isaiah, it says chapter 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, are my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend.
So Israel is the ones who we have chosen. He said he came. We came from him, from Adam. So let's go back over there to that book of Genesis. Who was reading that book of Genesis? Hold that Genesis for me. Okay, Mother Eve.
I was reading it.
Okay, let's pick it back up over there in that book of Genesis, Mother Eve.
Okay, let me start back at 20.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, 19.
You can pick it up at
Genesis chapter 2, verses 20. Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 reads, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found help me for him. 21. And the Yahweh caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and said thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Yahweh had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man.
So Yahweh brought the woman to the man, huh?
Right.
So when he created Adam and then he took the woman from Adam, he say, hey, I'm gonna go see what Adam gonna do. I'm gonna bring the woman to the man, right? So the woman's sitting right there, right? Now what Adam do when he's out of woman?
Okay. Verse 23. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Because she was taken out of man.
And there you go right there. So we go back and we read the part when he was talking about that the woman was came from man. Then there go your storyline right there. That's where he pulled that from. You know, he went back inside the scriptures and he was able to pull that and understand that. Like, hey, look, woman, you came from up. So you created that helped me. So you were taken from us. So you was created for me now. I know that because I can go back and I can read that in the book of Genesis in chapter 2, and I can read that storyline 18 all the way down to 25. You knocked that out already, Mother?
Verse 25. And they were both naked. The man and his wife.
Oh, yeah, 24, Mother. Bring 24 down to 25. But keep something in mind here now. And you got to, now when Adam saw the woman, he went and made the choice. The woman ain't go over there and do over there, do no talking, made no choice to Adam, come to me. Nah, Adam saw, Yahweh set the woman over there and sat back and let Adam go over there and get that woman. What's the reading over there, Mother?
Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 25. And they were both naked,
the man and his wife and were not ashamed.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get Mother E. Let me get a closing statement from you, Mother E. And certain nationalities, well, Yahweh, put on your mind, get a closing statement on the clock.
Okay, just thanking and praising Yahweh for this class, and thanking and praising Yahweh for being in the class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the teachers, Brother Makaya and Brother Titus. And thanking and praising Yahweh for just being able to listen to the class. Brother Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Mother DF Israel. We're gonna swing on over here since you know that the husband and the wife gotta cleave together. I mean the husband gotta lead the wife and cleave to the cleave the mother and the father and cleave to the his wife, but let's find out what else takes place over there in the book of Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, before we go to the book of Genesis, looking for some over here, over there in the book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse 12, what they say over there, Mother D.F. Israel?
Okay.
But when she cleaves to the man, when the man cleaves to the wife, but this is the mind frame that we're looking for right here that we can read in the book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse 12.
Sirach, chapter 37, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
But be continuously with a Yahwali man.
Mm-hmm.
Whom thou knowest, to keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
whose
mm-hmm.
mind is according to your mind, and will.
Mm-hmm. Now, continue to read. Knock that out, Mother D.
And will sorrow with you if thou shall miscarry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Mind of the man have to be he has to be a Yahwali man that the woman has to be with. He got to be a Torah instruction keeping man. He says one is known to keep Torah instruction. See, mm-hmm. That means they don't have to they have to know that this is one that keeps Torah instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, and what he say over there, Mother D.F. Israel, in Sirach chapter 7 and verse 26.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll pick it up at verse. We're gonna put a little something on it. And pick it up at verse 24, 25, and 26.
Seven.
Yes, ma'am. And the book of Sirach.
Chapter 7, 25 and 26.
Yeah. Now, chapter 7, we want verse 24 mm-hmm. down to 26.
Oh. So what, chapter 7, verses 24 to 26. 24.
Yes,
has thou, daughter, have a care of their body and show not
mm-hmm.
yourself cheerful towards them?
Mm-hmm.
Marry your daughters, and
mm-hmm.
so shall thou have performed a weight matter.
Mm-hmm.
But give her to a man of understanding.
So, but you remember he said the man should leave and cleave to his wife, though, but just can't cleave to the woman, just can't handle any type of man. She got to have a Yahwali man, right? But also, that means the father got to marry the daughter, but he can't just give her to no any old type of man. He got to be ready to give her to a man of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He got to be ready to give her one that's ready to give her to a right structure.
Mm-hmm. It's the thing too. So the father got a job to do too with the daughter. You know what? Now what do you say in verse 26?
Verse 26. Hast thou a wife after your mind? Forsake her not, but give not yourself over to a light woman.
They also tell them, the man, the woman got to be out there, your mind. After your mind. What we can, matter of fact, Mother GF Israel, we're going to put one on the clock. And we're going to go to Genesis, the book of Genesis. And after this, we'll get a closing statement. And what Yahshua had to say in the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up at verse 16.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children.
Now in sorrow they're going to bring forth children. They're going to multiply the conception. Now, when we read this Bible, we know today in truth, in fact, that the woman still getting sorrow, her children still going through sorrow, and she's barely going through some pain and conception when she's having those babies. The thing about it is, we believe that, right?
Right.
But remember, he said, have you a wife after your mind? And he said, give your wife, or he said, give your daughter over to a man of understanding. So, and then beside of the man mind, he say, seek the Torah instruction. He's to a man that's known to seek the Torah instruction, but your father's going to have to do some work, too. So, what happened to this part right here when you read the rest of this verse right here? What do you read, mother? Finish that out.
Okay. And Sarah, thou shalt bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you.
And how he shall rule over you is with that Sirach chapter 37, verse 12. You know, got the Yahwali man, one known to keep the Torah instructed, the Yahwah. See, that's the thing. But what happened to the mind frame of the desire that don't belong to the woman no more? It's to the husband. Her desire is all to the husband. And the rule over you part. See, we got to do five. We got to be ready to do five. And that's the thing. When these parts come out, no one really to honor that part, but they want everybody to be in that position. We got to do five. Yeah, get this five to look in here and do what he said he wants to do. We want to make it to the team. What's the closing statement, Mother D.F. Israel?
Oh, I'm looking over here at Sirach chapter 6, verse 20, verses 32. My son, if thou will, thou shalt be taught, and if thou will apply your mind, thou shalt be prudent. 33. If thou love to hear, thou shalt receive understanding. If thou by thy ear, thou shalt be wise. Verse 34. Stand in the mother's stool of the elders and cleave unto him that is wise. Okay. 35. Be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parable of understanding escape you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, Brother Titus, we'll get one more win. Let me see what I can pull out. I was looking for something in the book of Jazz. I'm going to go ahead and pull one more out. people to knock that heat out. Now, matter of fact, go to Abraham. We're going to see what Abraham said over there in Genesis chapter 12. Yeah, matter of fact, 18. Give me 18 verse 12. Yeah, 18:12.
Out of the book of Genesis.
Yeah, let's see what Sarah had to say in verse 11. And this is my precept really from early, verse 11 and 12 about that with that age. But I'll say that for another time. Give me verse 12.
All right, Genesis chapter 18, pick up at verse 12. We'll start at verse 11.
All right, you pick it up at verse 12, and then get your closing statement.
The book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Yahweh being old also.
What you call
him? She called him Yahweh.
She called him Yahweh, right? Okay,
I'm
well, right ahead. Give me 82 verse 6. Wow. He called him Yahweh. What do you say in Psalms 82 verse 6?
All right, Psalms 82 verse 6 reads, I have said you are Yahweh, and all of you are the daughters of the Most High Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So his wife called him Yahweh. And then inside of what we can read, they said that we are Yahweh. St. John chapter 10, verse 34 and 35, brother Titus.
All right, we're going to John chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. John chapter 10, verse 34. Now, while the son answered him, it is not written in your Torah instruction, I said you are Yahweh. Verse 35. And if he calls them Yahweh, it's a little word of Yahweh I can't.